This show is brought to you by
6 years old, maybe productions.
Yo, crew members, what it be?
Heyo, ho.
Why did you look at me like that?
I don't know.
All right, well, it's good to have you back, brother, number one.
It's good to be back and actually feeling pretty healthy.
Yes.
Which is nice.
About damn time. But, yeah, so we initially had a plan last week to get everybody a Heroes and Villains episode.
Mm-hmm.
But then,
Which we will do.
But then you got sick. So, you know what I mean? We were like, okay, we'll hold off on that. And then Mike and I, you know what I mean? We kind of jumped down here. We did our thing. It was
Handle
a good
business.
Time.
Yes, it was.
And then we're like, okay, cool, we'll do it this week. And then we got a trailer that dropped.
It was very important to one person in this room in particular.
It is something that has to be talked about, yes.
Yes.
And, of course, we are talking about the Borderlands movie, the trailer that it is getting a lot of mixed reviews.
I was literally getting ready to say, I feel like this podcast is going to be like a tale of two reactions. Because there's going to be moments where we feel the same way, and then I feel like there's going to be moments where we're... Actually, no, I don't think there's going to be many moments where we're far apart, or maybe I'm just a little more optimistic, maybe.
See, what's hilarious about that is the WASD and Beyond podcast, you know what I mean, the guys that used to be part of the network with us?
Yeah.
Their episode that they just dropped.
Same.
Tale of Two Trailers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so your wording was fucking on point, dude. That's why you saw that huge smile on my face.
Yeah.
Because that cracked me up, because I'm still set up with listening to those guys. So.
Yeah. All right, well, why don't you start by just telling the people what the story is of this Borderlands movie, what the plot is.
Okay, so before I do that, I want to go ahead and say something that Randy Pitchford has said multiple times. And even with me hearing it multiple times, I still don't think about it when I'm watching this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The movie universe is not linear to the game universe. Let me say it again, because I need to hear it again from my own goddamn voice. The movie universe for Borderlands is not the same or linear in any way to the video game universe. What we have with Borderlands 1, 2, 3, pre-sequel, all of the Tiny Tina stuff. Again, that is just something that he has said multiple times that I need to remember. We are not going to get characters the same way, the same look, the same feel as what we have in the games. But we still get the characters, which is the part that I have a problem with.
So when I was thinking about the story, and I started thinking about, because this is a common theme amongst video game movies, they're never the same as the games, right? Because we're always saying, dude, you've got the layout, you've got the story right here, just put it to the screen. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, I wonder if these movie studios stick away from that because, one, they're like, you know, how many people are actually going to see this thing if they already know every single thing that's going to happen because they've played the games?
Yeah.
And another thing, it also gives you, you know, more creative freedom.
Yes.
Now that, and a little play on words, that opens Pandora's box because not all creative ideas are going to be good ones. So, and we're going to talk about some of those decisions on this episode. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of warming me up for when the eventual day comes that a Legend of Zelda trailer does drop.
Yeah, you're in trouble for that, man.
Watch, that's going to be the first game where they're like, dude, we're just going to do what the game was.
I mean, again, one of the smartest things that I honestly think they could do is give us something during the time of slumber, those 100 years,
mm-hmm.
that Link was sleeping.
Yeah.
Give us something there with, I mean, look, it could even be with the Warriors, the Calamity Warriors. It could be with all of them, you know, Mipha and everything. I'm cool with that.
I don't know how they're going to do it. I would imagine if they plan on it being, and this is so off topic from what we're talking about, so this will be the last thing I say about it until that episode comes. But I would imagine if they plan on actually making a series out of it and not just a standalone thing, I can't see any other plot outside of how Link came to be Link, how he became, you know, the dude who could wield the Master Sword and... You know,
he's with Zelda.
I think it's going to be very Link, Zelda, Ganon, Master Sword heavy. Just like, here's the basics right here. I feel like that's what they're going to do. I would imagine.
I get that.
I don't think they're going to drop you right in with stuff from Breath of the Wild or even stuff from... I just don't see it.
Honestly, but that's the thing, man. Yo, like, Tears of the Kingdom, that one makes so much more sense to become a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Taking aspects of that and turning into the movie, like, you mean everything with the beginning, you know what I'm saying? With working with, like, different species of people and all that type of shit. Like, all of that stuff, man.
But back to the movie that matters.
Instead of the one that hasn't even remotely come out yet.
So, why don't you tell us about this non-linear plot?
Alright, so the premise of the movie is Lilith, an infamous outlaw with a mysterious past, reluctantly returns to her home planet of Pandora to find the missing daughter of the universe's most powerful SOB, Atlas. SOB meaning son of a bitch, I think. I don't even know what they mean for that in this actual one. Lilith forms an alliance with an unexpected team, Roland, a former elite mercenary, now desperate for redemption. Tiny Tina, a feral preteen demolitionist. Krieg, Tina's muscle-bound, rhetorically challenged protector. Okay, I like that a lot.
It's a great description of somebody.
Not wrong.
I want to refer to myself as that for Alex one day. Like, baby, you don't ever have to worry.
I am your muscle-bound, rhetorically challenged.
I'm your muscle-bound rhetorical. I may not be muscle-bound, but I'm your rhetorically challenged protector.
The episode.
Look at me like, what the fuck are you, bro? You're challenged, all right.
Oh, man, I am.
Okay.
Tanis, the scientist with a tenuous grip on sanity, also true, mm-hmm. and Claptrap, a persistently wise-ass robot. These unlikely heroes must battle alien monsters and dangerous bandits to find and protect the missing girl who may hold the key to unimaginable power. The fate of the universe could be in their hands, but they'll be fighting for something more. Each other.
Family.
And that was from Lionsgate Films.
Yeah.
I gotta make sure I fucking put that in there.
So that is the plot. And now having said that, for all people, really, that have played these games, you're probably going to be slightly baffled that, you know, you don't have the antagonist you would have expected.
Yes.
The fact that they're making Atlas the antagonist.
So I'm not entirely mad with that because there's always a reason to hate these big corporations. You know what I'm saying? From any aspect, if you're not within the corporate hierarchy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just real life, whatever. But having... And I mean, the guy they have playing Atlas, Edgar Ramirez, he looks like a prick. He looks like that, like, snob-nosed, like, you know what I mean? Look down at everybody type of motherfucker.
Stuck up.
Yes.
Motherfucker. Can you imagine the casting call for that movie? Like, can you bring in Prick 17? Like,
all right. So how about you want to break down the cast a little bit?
So
how about we talk about the people that we saw in the trailer?
Yeah, and we'll go one at a time. So I think the first person you set eyes on is Lilith, right?
Yes, the first person you see is Kate Blanchett as Lilith.
And we will say right away, you did say that, you know, she's returning back to, you said she's coming back to Pandora, right?
Yes.
Clearly has been gone for a very long time. Probably was telling stories in the nursing home because she is quite old. She is quite old.
Here's my thing.
Love Cate Blanchett, but...
Here's my thing. And I'm just going to keep it at this. I'm not going to say anything about these women being too old for the role or not, because that's not where I'm going. Where I'm talking about is what you get from the actor for the role. Her voice, to me, is wrong. Her voice,
You mean that a 60-some or 50-some-odd-year-old lady can't sound like a 20-something person? Shocker.
All I'm saying is that a very well-paid and prestigious actress...
I love her.
...was told, was told X, Y, and Z for this, and she did what she could with what she had.
Yeah, I have.
But here's my thing. The very first thing I hear out of her mouth is, I hate this planet. Almost in that same exact tone that I just gave you.
When I first heard her, it sounded like Lilith was in her late 50s telling a story about Pandora to her grandchildren.
Yeah.
It sounded like.
Now, look, we did get some cool things from that very first spot. We got a look at the Infinity Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the first thing that she's fucking shooting. So that was pretty fucking cool. Actually seeing the barrel just
spin around.
Like, look, that part, look, there's a lot of visual effects that I saw with this to where, like, that was some of the stuff to where I'm like, wow, they can pull some of this off. Because a lot of it is practical.
Yeah.
Like, Marcus's bus that we see, that's practical. They actually made that.
Yeah.
And inside that bus, they actually had one of his gun vending machines that worked.
Yeah.
You mean it had all the lights and everything else like fucking working.
Yeah.
So yeah, the first person we see is Lilith, and the main reason why they picked her for this role is because of how she did with Hela in Thor Ragnarok, which she was fantastic.
Absolutely. My only issue with something like that is, like, unless this is a standalone movie and you have no desire to do extra ones, especially with how long it takes for movies like this to come out.
Yes.
How many times are you going to be able to trot her out for this type of movie and have it still make sense for her to play Lilith?
Yeah.
Because what like, optimistically, like if they came out with a second one.
The actress they picked for Commander Knox, that woman... makes a lot more sense for a pick for, like, Lilith because, you know what I mean, somebody in her, again, we're getting to the age thing, even though it's kind of what I was trying to turn away from, but, you know what I mean? Yeah, she is younger, though.
Yeah, it's a fact. I'm not hating that Cate Blanchett is the age that she is. She's a phenomenal actor, and, you know, I've loved plenty of the shit she's been in. I'm just saying, when we were talking, I said, you know, it's, you know, they've got, you know, 20-year-olds playing teenagers now. They even got 30-year-olds playing teenagers sometimes, and sometimes college, but you don't generally see people pushing 50s, 60s playing someone that is supposed to be in their 20s.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough to pull off. They're not going to sound the same with makeup and stuff. That is a little easier to manage. But then, like I said, if you're going to trot out more movies, if they come out with the Borderlands 2, what are you thinking? 2028? 2029?
Yeah. And to which then
you're really stretching some shit.
Yeah, her being almost 70.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's a wild choice. If this is a one-off, fine. Or if you just kill her off, which would be wild for the first Borderlands movie.
I mean...
you kill, like, the most powerful siren in the game.
I mean,
the movie.
We did get the Firehawk firework.
Yeah.
Last time we got that was the end of 3.
Mm-hmm.
When she went flying into the moon.
Yep.
So, let's not say...
Yeah.
That we ain't going to lose her.
Yeah. And like you said, we're also just guessing based on the game, but the fact that you said that Pitchford said that this isn't, you know, linear with the game and stuff like that, this Lilith in this movie could be older. She might not be in her 20s.
Yeah.
So.
So other people we saw Kevin Hart as Roland.
Yeah.
We've already made, when it comes to the games, we've already made our opinion about that felt many times before.
Yeah, and that didn't change. That's the one that didn't change after seeing the trailer.
I think people just want to make him an action star. That's what it is.
They've been doing that with him. Any movie he's in with The Rock, action star.
Yeah.
But Ride Along 2, action star. Jumanji, action. Yeah. That's what it is. You know? I mean, shit, when you're a plant, you get to do what you get to do, you know?
Okay. The last thing I need
is what?
No, actually, no. We need everybody talking our name. Okay, fine,
fine. All right. Yo, did you hear that local podcast from in Philly had the nerve to call Kevin Hart a plant? Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, Andy said it. We you also puss. Get-
you pussy. That caught me late. I thought you were like co-signing. I was like, yeah, Andy said it.
So another person we get in the trailer is we get to see Tiny Tina for the first time. Ariana Greenblatt.
I am super excited for that.
So one of the big things that has been going around is a lot of people are upset because they don't believe that anybody can embody the crazy eyed ear bunny ear wearing madness psycho that she is.
It's a tall task.
Because like if you look at her in the games, if you look at the way she looks at you, how she stands, that kind of like bouncy thing she does, kind of going back and forth. You know what
she's,
I mean?
Like, yeah, she's
like
twitchy.
Dude, she is unfucking hinged. Now, we're talking about a young lady who played her, who started playing her when she got this role at 13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's remember that.
Yeah.
She was 13 years old playing this role. And I'm excited. I think she's going to do a fantastic job. Apparently that line where she talks about Piss Gully, the it being in her
it's
mouth.
It's in my mouth.
Apparently that was an ad lib. That wasn't even part of the set. Like, dude, she ad libbed that completely.
Pro.
So, we also get Jamie Lee Curtis, who is Dr. Patricia Tannis. I remember saying with the voice I would expect of Tannis is something like a Jamie Lee Curtis, Sigourney Weaver type.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sigourney Weaver and Jamie Lee Curtis have the same little like. They got like the sass.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit of like sass undertone.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised that they didn't go the Sigourney Weaver route just because she's played people like her before. Like she's played the sciencey role. Like she's like in Avatar.
Avatar, yeah.
And also she was a scientist in something else.
Wasn't she also a scientist in Alien?
Different type of scientist, but yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's a scientist, dog.
Ellen Ripley, baby. R.I.P.
Right? We get Florian Montaneo. Sorry, I do apologize, Mr. Florian. He is going to be playing Krieg. Now, we first saw one of the things we saw him in was Razor Fist, I believe, in Shang-Chi in the Ten Rings.
Well, he was a beast. He played, didn't he play...
he used to be like a German boxer or some shit.
Well, yeah, he was in one of the Creed movies. He played.
Oh yeah, he played
Baby Creed, Draco. Right? I said he played Baby Creed. Yeah, he played Baby Drago.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played Drago's kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a hulk of a dude.
He's fucking insane. And yo, he is one of the ones that I said flat. Like when I saw him, I'm like, yeah.
When I knew that Creed was going to be in the movie, I was like, it's got to be like him, Tom Hardy, or like something like that.
And like, dude, Florian, like he looks fantastic. What they did?
Oh, it looks great.
What they did with the artistic style of, you know what I mean, like the scars and everything else, and you know what I mean the way all the gear worked, it looked great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still mad I haven't heard him talk yet, because there's one of two ways he's going to be. He is either going to be the way that everybody hears him, or he's going to be the way he hears himself.
Mm-hmm. We gonna find out.
That was a weird ass. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It had a little bit of that there.
I don't know. Continue.
We did get to see Marcus in the trailer. He's gonna be played by Benjamin Brian Davis.
Marcus Munitions.
Again, Edgar Ramirez is going to be playing Atlas. We did go ahead and see him. We are getting. Our good old Catch a Ride boy himself. We got somebody playing Scooter, a young gentleman by the name of Stephen Boyer. Yeah. And
you get Hammerlock, too.
And we get Hammerlock, yes. Charles Babalola is going to be Hammerlock. And he's actually British, too, this young gentleman here. But, we get Jania.
I can't see you from here. Hold on.
God, man, come on.
Janina
Gavankar.
Yeah, something like that.
She's going to be playing Commander Knox. So with that, we know that we're dealing with the Crimson Raiders.
Yeah, I'm excited for Ellie. I loved Ellie in the game, dude.
Ellie was always so great.
Straight sass mouth.
oh my gosh, she didn't like I, yeah, she was seriously like the perfect one.
Yeah.
And we have Ryan Redman is going to be playing Ellie in the movie. So we also have Claptrap, which is going to be Jack Black. When you first hear him talk, he sounds like just basically like Poe.
It didn't sound like Jack Black at first to me. Oh,
the very first words he says after they open up that
manhole.
Yeah. The very first few words he says, he sounds exactly like himself, but then they turned whatever autotune they were using on,
mm-hmm.
and then you could hear that double, triple type of like voice trip that they have, and it gets very close to
Claptrap.
It really, and especially when they had him falling down that whole thing.
Yeah.
He sounded very much like Claptrap. And then he had the line about the ladders, and oh, my model can't do those.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody knows Claptrap's thing with stairs.
Do you think that's going to be in it? You think there's going to be a moment? Yeah.
Yes.
There has to be.
I feel like if he doesn't have a stairs in front of Philadelphia Art Museum steps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's going to
we're cheated.
You are missing something that could be one of the funniest things that could easily happen in the movie.
Yeah.
We also get Mad Moxie.
We do.
In this one. We get a very, very quick look at her.
Very quick.
She is, I mean, look, she looks exactly like you would expect.
Oh, she dolled up.
Oh, absolutely. She dolled up. The girls are
the girls are
up and out. Yes, sir.
The twins came to party. The twins came to party.
One of the cool things is that we're also going to get somebody from Jacobs.
Yeah.
We are getting Cheyenne Jackson is going to be playing Jacobs. They don't say whether he is like...
He is Jacobs or like just...
See, that's the part that I'm trying to figure out. Because if we
is he just someone from Jacobs Corporation? Because
Hammerlock, I mean, their ages aren't that far off.
Yeah.
And we already know that there is somebody from the Jacobs family that married Hammerlock.
Yeah, it was so a whole DLC around that.
Yeah. I'm curious if they're actually going to have that or not. Because one of the things that I did get that I am a little bit... I guess peeved, I guess, could be what I want to say. But, like, they've taken away all of the characters who have any type of diversity. And what I mean by that is any type of diversity that's, like, just not seen. You're taking away people like Maya, who is queer. You're taking away, even with Tiny Tina is queer in the canon. It's just the fact you're not going to do that to a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean?
That's just asking.
Brick is canonically gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's so much stuff in this that is, you know what I mean, part of like the inclusivity of video games and everything else that I'm afraid isn't going to be shown.
Which is strange because if Hammerlock is Hammerlock, I mean that's representation there. So if you're gonna go there, because Hammerlock's gay, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a whole DLC around that. So.
Yes.
So I don't know if that was a reason or if they just did not fit into whatever this story was about to do. Who the fuck knows?
We also saw Bobby Lee, comedian Bobby Lee.
I saw him for a second. I was like, why am I forgetting who Larry is?
Because I don't know who the fuck Larry is.
They created Larry for Bobby Lee.
They easily could have. And it could have been Bobby Lee's just a fan of Eli Roth and he wanted to be a part of the movie. Just give me whatever.
Hey, what do you got for me? You want to play Larry? Sure.
Who's Larry?
I don't know. You.
All right, so before we get into some of the trailer breakdowns, talking about some of the Easter egg stuff for us, because that's the only reason why that shit was there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They're not going to show Skags and Racks. You know what I mean? They're not going to show Threshers. They're not going to show Welcome to Pandora signs for the regular layman who doesn't know what the fuck this is.
Yeah, that's
all of that shit is us.
That's for the people to play the games.
Yes.
Before you get into that, since we just did the characters and who's playing them, do you want to talk about the characters who are not in this movie?
Yes, we absolutely. Well, so at least that we don't know about yet.
Okay, so I'm assuming they're not in there because you can look up the IMDb for the movie. And
the movie's already done.
And the movie's already done. Yeah. So if those credits aren't there, they're not in it.
Yeah. So one of the big ones for me, and the reason that it pisses me off is because it looks like you start in that fucking town. The very first town you get to in Borderlands 1.
Oh.
Firestone?
Yeah, hold on. What's his name?
What, Zed?
Yeah.
That's the one I'm fucking mad about.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. They actually, I was watching a breakdown of the trailer with Randy Pitchford doing the commentation.
Mm-hmm.
You mean talking about it.
Commentary, yeah.
Commentation. That's not even a word. Fuck. So, oh, man. You know what I mean? And like, he was so excited about having, like, Zed's spot in the background in one of the shots. I mean, because they actually built it. I mean, they actually built, like, an actual Firestone.
And if I'm not tripping, like, in that first game, the only two people that you really bought from were Marcus and Zed, right?
Yes.
Because you didn't have, like, the Iridium shit until the second one, right?
I mean, we did have Earl. Earl was only in the second one.
So, yeah, the first one was primarily Zed and Marcus. And you got Marcus.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's strange to not have Zed. I'll give you that.
Yeah, but look, not having Zed, not Zed, Jesus, I'm talking on my ass. Not having Zed, not having TK.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, dude? That one bothers me as well.
And then and just some of the other like main characters you mentioned, like not having a Brick, Amaya. Now, of course, not having Mordecai. Now, again, Zero.
Axton. I mean, hell, dude, but, the entire second movie lineup.
I was about to say, but how smart that is if they're saving that for that reason. Like, why would you release all the dogs immediately?
I get that. And look, if that's the case, if you're talking, because Lilith doesn't even have a real role in the second one besides being the Firehawk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's that one battle that she's in with us when mm-hmm. we find out who the Firehawk is, and that's it.
Yeah.
After that, she just chills at fucking Sanctuary just doing her thing.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I get it. I get if they want to hold all of that, but there's a lot of this stuff where it seems like you're adding from other spots within the Borderlands universe from other shit. Like, you're pulling things from
Borderlands. Like, you're pulling things from their games without having them in the movie.
Yes. So, again, we start off the trailer with seeing Lilith, and one of the great things is you have the Welcome to Pandora sign behind her, which is just one of those things. I mean, it's the very first thing you with the Cage the Elephant song when it's first fucking going. That's another thing. I am so shocked they use that song.
You know what is going to be fantastic if they do it. Now, it's probably something they would have shown in the trailer, but if the first time you see that van, like the full scene with that van, if it runs over a skag.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. Yeah, so we do get
Marcus's.
Yeah, we do get Marcus's van. Yeah, dude, look, we got all these fucking, got all the bones and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Pandora looks as it should.
Pandora looks fucking great. It looks just as desolate as I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And that, like, dude, we even have like the siren stuff. So we still have yet to see her tattoos.
Yeah.
We have yet to see Lilith actually being a siren, which is something they don't even mention in the plot. They don't mention sirens or anything else at all. So, I mean, this weird thing could be something weird with the sunlight and the reflections and stuff. Or, yes, this could actually be, with her being the Firehawk.
Yeah.
We get our first look at Roland, which is, and then we get Patricia Tanis. I love all the stuff behind her, dude. You have the doll. Mm-hmm. Doll armorage thing here. You got the fucking got the Borderlands gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love, dude. They did.
They put little Easter eggs in there for the people.
A lot of time on detail.
Yeah.
And then we have the first time we see Tiny Tina, and she's hosting a TNT party.
Very fitting.
With when you have some of the pan outs and some of the scope outs from her actual spot in the movie, you do get some of the stuff from like Borderlands 2 from having the tea party and all that other shit. And then we also get our first look at Krieg.
Yeah.
And again, fantastic. And yeah.
Looks just as he should.
The fucking saw.
Yeah.
The weapon looks perfect.
Yeah. He looks perfect. Everything about him looks perfect. And Claptrap too.
I mean, look, also Claptrap is, a robot. You know what I mean? So, yeah. That's kind of easy to do. I mean, look, I am a little bit upset that they didn't grab the original voice guy. But at the same time, I know that they didn't grab him for the third game because they were dealing with a lot of contract issues with him.
Mm.
So I'm not surprised that he's not here, but it would have been cool to hear his voice.
Yeah, it would have.
All right, and then we get our look at Moxie.
Yep.
And yeah, like we and dude, not only that, she also has her Welcome to Moxie, the big sign for the bar in the back.
Yeah, she's got a little mini hat on.
Yep, with the nice heart tattoo.
I'm sure the tip jar's out.
Oh, absolutely. thousand. Give me that fucking gun.
See that big ass rack.
So The Skag looked pretty cool. The Rack, you don't get enough of it in order to actually like.
You wouldn't really be able to tell it wasn't just like a dragon from Game of Thrones.
Only because it uses tail. When it uses tail, you know what I mean, like you mean like and some of the racks got, like swinging them out and like throwing shit.
And you really like, and you really only got one legit shot of it flying in the opposite direction. It's not like it was flying towards you anyway.
So here's one of the first things that Randy Pitchford said: this guy isn't who we think it is. Because this dude looks a lot like Mouthpiece from Borderlands 3. Remember the first bad guy you beat? The first boss? The Soundwave
stuff? The sound guy, yeah. What, because of the mouth?
Dude, the helmet, the entire thing. Yeah. It looks exactly like Mouthpiece, but apparently it's not. They already went ahead and said flat out that it's not.
Okay.
So it's a different character. They didn't say who he was. You mean they didn't give him a name or anything. But, like, I do kind of like this. They said in this article, they're another signature part of the game, regularly gracing the cover of Borderlands titles and constantly screaming about meat bicycles. Because it is true. That is one of the major lines.
Fair enough.
We get a look at Pandora some more. We get some of the hazards of like different caustic zones and Piss Gully. This fucking car.
Catch a ride.
Okay, so number one, they actually built that.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Randy Pitchford said that there were about 50 people trying to get a picture on it the very last day of filming, and everybody got on top of it and destroyed it. Too much weight and the whole fucking... Because this thing defies physics the way that it works.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so fucking weird with the way the suspensions work on the independent tires. But yeah, dude, that looks fucking great. That fucking car looks fantastic. We get the
porta potty.
Get the porta potty. No fapping.
Yep. You're gonna open it and find gun. Someone gonna open it and find a gun in there.
I hope so.
Some grenades. Yeah, something.
We got the doll. And like, so this building here. This is what Randy Pitchford was talking about being Zed's fucking spot. But again, we don't have any information on Zed being in the movie.
Yeah.
This part here, so when you see them walking with the faces, with the different like virtual faces on them, they did that for the sole purpose of the cosmetics that you can buy in the game. So you know how like you can find the faces and do all that. That's the only reason why this is in here.
This is
completely for us.
Yeah, that's actually
because I mean, look, this one is like Tiny Tina's is exactly
what you
expect from a psycho mask.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, dude, like I mean, you have the. You got this one here. It looks like it's Krieg. And he's got this huge, like...
That looks like... Dude, that looks like... Thing. It looks like one of the fucking... The bubble things from fucking Breath of the Wild.
It really does. Oh, yeah. That's
the
right.
The blue little fucking water fuckers.
Yeah, those annoying motherfuckers. Yeah, dude, it really does. But yeah, so...
Marcus. I see you.
Yeah, we do. We get Marcus. Apparently, there's also a fuck ton of the Gearbox people... In the movie, which I hoped for.
Yeah.
Apparently, they grabbed a bunch of like famous cosplayers who have done a lot of stuff.
That's cool.
They did all this filming in 2020. They did all of this shit in like 2020, 2021. So the height of the pandemic, you know what I mean? And that's another thing I think is actually going to hurt this movie.
When it was filmed.
And all, I mean, the reason why they filmed it out in like Turkmenistan or wherever the fuck they did, you know what I mean? It was basically because those places had like almost no rules. You know what I'm saying? Basically, it's just whoever has the dollar can go ahead and run this shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get that. We get our first look at Edgar Ramirez.
Atlas.
Which is Atlas.
Yep.
And this is... I love the Atlas guns, too. Atlas guns were so good. You'd be able to just throw that homing beacon on him. Mm-hmm. And then the gun from Fifth Element. Any bullets go right there. God, I love those things. It was OP as fuck. Then we got to see Crimson Lance. Mm-hmm. Look, their cars look cool.
Yeah.
The cars look cool. The outfits actually look pretty damn close to the game.
Yeah.
I will say that. I mean, because look, you need to have practical application with this stuff. I mean, because people are actually wearing it. So I understand some of the, some of like the artistic license they might take.
Yeah.
Just for like the practicality of some of this stuff. We got to get a look at the at one of the actual
vaults
that's in the movie. Inside the vault, you'll get anything from exotic technology to secrets of the universe, all sorts of riches. Who knows? Hilarity may ensue. We get another another little immersion thing here for gamers like us. We have the Hyperion Wall that is where Tiny Tina lives.
Mm-hmm.
And she just makes sure that she yells out to all the people from the Crimson Raiders. Hey, you guys are going to get all blown up now. I don't remember what the fucking line was. Something about with your body parts. Like that's
now it's raining with your body parts.
There you go. And then she does this cartwheel into hitting the plunger for an explosion.
Yeah.
It is, again, it is 100% what she would do.
Yeah.
But I still don't think there would be a single actress that could ever fully encapsulate what Tiny Tina is from the games.
It would be tough.
Because you truly need to have that level of crazy. You honestly do.
Yeah.
You have to have that level of crazy or else it doesn't work. And if you have that level of crazy, I don't think you should be around people.
In four padded walls, man.
Pretty much. So, again, man, Ariana Greenblatt, I think she's going to do great. I honestly think that she is going to do a really good job.
I think if anyone can do it, she can do it.
Yes. So we got the tea party, and then we got Malawan. A little bit of hits for, for some of the guns. We got, like, the Malawan, which I love Malawan guns. They were good. All elemental stuff. You got Tiny Tina with a rocket launcher.
Mine's bigger.
Yep. I hope we get Mr. Torg.
Oh my
God. Explosions.
Yeah.
But see, we missed the opportunity with that with Randy Savage. That would, you know, because that was Torg.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean, dude, like that was the quintessential thought of like basically encapsulating who Torg was.
Yeah.
We get to see the Firehawk, which is basically the mythical phoenix of the Borderlands lore, which is what they call Lilith, at least in the second game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She goes from the second game on being the Firehawk. And then we actually get to take a look at it's a Thresher. So here's my thing. At first, I thought it was Terramorphous. Because if that was going to be Terramorphous, I was going to be extremely upset.
I was about to say that's going to be a very half-assed Terramorphous.
Yeah, very, very small for something that should be called Terramorphous.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to drive your shit through Terramorphous's face.
Yes, because I mean, even the article we have here says, is this one the infamous Terramorphous, the Invincible, which... No, I really hope. I hope it's his little brother.
Yeah.
I hope it's his little brother, John. Let John get killed. That way Terramorphous gets mad. You know what I'm saying? And then we got to deal with Terry later.
Yeah.
But let's... Here's the things that I liked. I'm just going to go with this way. Here are the things that I liked.
You're going to end with the things that you didn't like? You're that guy?
I mean, I thought a lot of this was... me shitting on it, but
yeah, pretty much. But
I mean, which means that for the most part, I've already done.
Well, before you give me, you know, your likes, dislikes, and all that shit, if you have any other dislikes, if they do come out with another one or two, who are some people you would love to see? I mean, your top three you would want to see, knowing that it's not linear and anybody could pop up. Because I got some that I think would be perfect for movies. Like, I would love to see the Calypso twins.
This would be where they would be the absolute pinnacle. They would be at their height right now. The influencer revolution, the influencer era, which is what's going
that's
on
what
currently.
They are. Yeah.
Because that was the whole point of Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dealing with the social influencers who were going from planet to planet to planet. Mm-hmm. And fucking just getting all these followers to just fucking follow whatever the fuck they say, like a cult that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Calypso twins would be perfect. Captain Scarlet would be one that I would love to see.
Yeah.
At the same time, I want Maya. I want Brick. I want Mordecai. I want Axton. I want Salvador. You know what I mean, dude? I want
Angel. I want Handsome Jack.
Okay.
Badly. I definitely want... Angel is such a big part. I mean, obviously, as was Handsome Jack, I mean, for fuck's sake, but... I can't imagine they'll do, like I said, unless they plan on this being their only movie, I can't imagine that they will do an entire series of these movies with no Handsome Jack.
No.
That would be like doing Star Wars games without Darth Vader.
Yes.
And it's not going to happen.
I fully understand that. But at the same time,
how you fit him in,
like
after like having a movie like already,
you are really trying to not get a sophomore slump if you're going to wait to put Jack in until like the second or third, I mean, iterate or rendition.
Like, you almost wonder if leaving certain people out that definitely are fan favorites for one reason or another. You've got Handsome Jack, you've got people like Maya and Brick and, you know, Mordecai and stuff like that. You almost wonder if they're keeping that shit in their back pocket in case this doesn't go over that well. And then they're like, okay, well, now we've got these guys that we know will help if we throw them in.
But like, my whole thing is that the...
Zed, too. I want to see Zed.
Yes, I want to see Zed.
I want to see him doing some fucked up shit in his doctor's office.
Look, the one. So here's one that I fully expect to see that they're not going to have in the credits. That I'm fully expecting. I am fully expecting, Randy Pitchford to redo his role as Crazy Earl. We are going to get something with a door, a little slider.
Yeah.
And hearing him, what you want?
That would be so cool.
I guarantee.
Yeah.
We are going to get that somewhere in this movie. And yeah. I'm not mad at that. Because, I mean, literally, he was the one that did the whole thing to begin with. So fine. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And look, this is his. Randy Pitchford, he was an executive producer of this movie. He was part of the whole process of everything with Eli Roth and everybody else at Lionsgate. With getting this fucking thing done. So guess what? This thing really does survive or fail off of him.
Yeah.
Because he's the one making these, like working with these thoughts and, you mean, making the movie the way that he made it. But yeah, so I've already talked about a bunch of the stuff that I do not like with this movie. We've already gone through this entire description. Like I said, I'm going to give you stuff that I like. I'm going to end it on a good note. Because we don't have anything for what we're playing. Andy is still playing Derived.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, he needs to get an IV stat. A GIV. Game IV stat.
Yeah, just get it in there. You know, one thing that might help, through Alex's job, they just gave her a random, she called me in. She was just like, are there any games that you would buy off like the online store? I was like, what do you mean? Like for what? She was like, my job is offering like you just pick a certain platform and you get like a gift card or whatever. So I was like, I have Game Pass and I have the premium for PlayStation that unloads new games all the time. So I was like, you know, how about the Switch? So got a, for her job, gave a free $50 gift card to the Switch online store. So I'm probably going to get something off of there. I don't know what, but I'll get something off of there.
Nice. I like that.
But all right, stuff that we liked.
So here's what I liked. The artistic direction they're taking the movie.
Yeah, I mean, Pandora looked great. Guns looked great.
Atlas looked really cool, just that, like with that Prometheus-looking type of world. You know what I mean? It did look right.
Yeah,
the metro areas looked correct to that type of stuff. Like mm-hmm. Sanctuary, where you had like the market area, where you saw Marcus, mm-hmm. like all of that seemed like it played well to what type of era they're looking at with this movie. So all of that I liked. A good part of the casting I do honestly like. I like who they picked for Ellie. I like who they picked for Scooter. I like who they picked for Hammerlock. I'm excited to see what Tina can do. I'm very much excited to see what Florian can do as Krieg. Because, like I said, we know next to nothing about his character. And I want to learn more about him because he is more than just the brute that everybody thinks he is. He is actually a very sophisticated and complex individual. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're aiming for that Guardians of the Galaxy type crowd, that Guardians feel, that they're looking to be James Gunn without being James Gunn. Mm-hmm. And I'm not entirely sure if that's going to hit.
Just like this misfit group of people coming together. You know what I mean?
I mean, look, you're also talking about somebody who's normally a horror director.
Yeah.
Is doing an action movie.
Yeah.
So there's a lot, dude, there's a lot of things that are thrown up in the air that are questionable with this. Will I see it?
Gee, I wonder. Honestly, I want to go with you.
See, and that's the thing. I would have to go with you. I would have to go with you or Clyburn. You mean somebody who I played the games with.
Everybody will go. We'll all go. We'll all go. We ain't all had a night at the movies ever.
Oh, man, that's a fucking
truth. Not all together.
Right. Yo, we could do that, sure. And then everybody come back, and we'll talk it out.
Yeah, right? We'll see it. We'll see like a Saturday matinee or some shit. And then immediately come back and cut the mics on.
The fuck did we just...
Or, holy shit, we were wrong.
That was good.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be somewhere in the middle. I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle.
I think
there's things that are going to leave you frustrated, and then there's going to be things that you're like, wow, I really like that.
I don't think it's going to be what we've been able to get from stuff like Arcane or... like Castlevania, you know what I mean? Like any of that type of stuff, unfortunately.
Well, those are series.
Yeah, but but I mean, that's still
And the
also...
series always seem to do better.
Well, yeah, I mean, Last of Us is doing better, obviously.
Last of Us, Castlevania, The Witcher.
Yes, that's another one. Well, at least until season four when Cable's gone.
Yeah, but I do believe that this will be better than Monster Hunter. I think this will be better than the Resident Evil movies. I think this will be better...
And I mean, look, we've hit this trope already of how bad video game movies have been.
Yeah, they'll definitely be better than the original Mortal Kombat movies.
Mainly Annihilation. The first one was actually for what we got in that time, it was actually good.
Yeah,
I think so at least.
I loved the most recent Mortal Kombat movie. I'll tell you that
the new one was good. Yeah, that definitely was good. And if you want, you could listen to that episode when we talked about it. With Alex from What's Your Spaghetti Policy, who is an avid, dedicated, diehard Mortal Kombat fan.
Boy, did I learn my fair share of Mortal Kombat knowledge that day.
And you can go back into our previous episodes for that one. So go ahead and give it a shot. But now we will let Anthony take you out so then we can talk to y'all one last time.
Glorious. It's a glorious day today, and it's Saturday. And we're going to connect with CGC. You can find us at consolegamingcrew.com. You can find us at our email, which is consolegamingcrew@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle, by the way, is @consolecrew. YouTube and Instagram are both consolegamingcrew. If you check us out, check out Boss Rush Network, which is bossrush.net. Great place. There's lots of things you can find there aside from us. Great people. By the way, Twitch should be returning at some point. It is CGC Podcast. We have co-op Mondays, and we're going to do something fancy for Fridays. I don't know yet. But that's where you can find us. And I hope you all have a wonderful day.
And I also hope everybody has a wonderful day. Andy currently can't talk, but I am going ahead and making this stretch out a little bit longer so that way we can get him to talk. Again, I want to go ahead and talk about 10K. We hit 10,000. We hit 10,000 listens. Yes, absolutely. Had to. Again, I want to thank everybody who has either been on the show, talked about the show, listened to the show, know anything about the show, bought any of our merch, any of it and all of it. Yo, we thank y'all. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
So until next time, y'all, please stay safe. Wash your hands. Mask up if you want to. Do what you got to do to feel good, because it is always about feeling good. Get them games to feel good. And as always, baby.
Game on.
Game on.
This was a show from
6 years old, maybe. Productions.